Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Hey, we're excited to be here today. We have looked so forward to getting to be with you guys. You guys know how to have church. You guys know how to have worship. You guys know how to touch the heart of God. Not every church has that. Matter of fact, a lot of churches don't want to touch the heart of God because they're comfortable with just the status quo. But you guys love to have church, and we have looked so forward to that today, to get to come and be with you guys. Incredible worship. Guys, man, when you hear my message, every song was in there. So thank you for letting us be here. We are Tim and Tammy Leathers. We are U.S. missionaries to Lifehouse. We are a home for ladies that are struggling with life-controlling issues. We're just a stone's throw away from here, just towards Wilton. And we are part of this county, and so we're excited about what God is doing in hearts and lives of ladies. And my wife is going to tell you more about what's going on.
Yeah, so those of you who may not have been here the last time we were here, we are Lifehouse, and we bring in women who have life-controlling issues such as addiction and different things. And so we help them through Christ to find freedom, amen? And that is the only way they find freedom is through Christ. So we aren't going to do a presentation today because we already did that with you, but we just wanted to kind of give an update. And shout out, though, to youth camp and kids camp, because I grew up in Foursquare, kids camp, and youth camp. We used to drive all the way up to Spencer Lake in Wisconsin, 8 hours to go to camp. But I went every year, and praise the Lord, because it did wonderful things in my life. Right. So I just had to say that. Anyway, so I just wanted to do a shout out because I know you're so close to us and I know that you're a part of what we are. And Teresa has been out and done Bible study with the girls, but we are needing volunteers. And so I am making a plea to this church because you are so close. You are the closest physical church to where we are. And so we are needing, first of all, we're needing women who can be mentors. And what that means is that you'll come and maybe meet with a woman once a week or maybe every other week for a couple hours, and you can sit and talk and chat, maybe do a Bible study together, or maybe take them to coffee or for a walk or whatever you want to do. We're needing that because I'd like every woman to have a mentor, because all they say is me, and they don't need to just see me. They need to see other people as well. And then we also need women and that can come in, and I'm even men, that can come in and do Bible studies. Maybe once a week, and maybe on a rotating bit, maybe you might do one for 4 or 5 weeks, and then somebody else comes in and does one for 4 or 5 weeks. So if there's anyone who's interested in that, please, please come and talk to me, because we would love to talk to you about that, because we need that. That is probably the one thing we are lacking in the most, is volunteers. But I also want to make a plea to you men, because we have aquaponics. And we are right now just, we got all of our fish moved into our fish house. Tim's getting ready to build the beds probably later this week. And we are always needing men to come in and help with some of that work, some of that hands-on work that he does around the farm.
Because I'm old.
Yes. Also, we have a boiler, and we have to cut wood for the winter time, so we're needing help with that. So any men in here that has a little bit of strength in them that can help with that kind of stuff, that would be great. So that's all I got to say today.
Well, we are excited about what we're doing. One of the facets of Lifehouse is that to help train ladies how to be employees, how to work. We are in the process right now of raising our funds to build an educational building. It's going to be a metal building. Inside that metal building will house part of our fish house that we have for aquaponics. Part of our aquaponics is that we're hoping that missionaries will come and stay with us. We're going to train missionaries how to do aquaponics. Then they can take aquaponics or hydroponics back to their countries, and hopefully we can take a missions trip from the churches like you guys, go overseas, help put together an aquaponics or hydroponics, and then leave one of our ladies with them as a missionary associate. Wouldn't that be awesome? One of our BHAGs, and we're excited about that. And so we're excited that we get to do that. If you're ever out that way, you want to stop by and take a look at what we're doing. We'd love to have visitors, so stop by and see us, and we would love to have you. And I just want to tell you how much that we love your pastors at this church. I hope that you realize how fortunate you guys are. Give them a hand. Yeah. You guys have wonderful pastors. Pastor Cynthia, her heart, and just the staff here is just incredible, and we love you. And what an honor it is to get to stand behind this sacred desk. I know when I was a pastor, it was always hard to just let anyone come and preach, what an honor that you guys would allow us to come and stand beside us as Lifehouse. Because, see, as missionaries, we can't do what we do without you. We don't ask you to stand behind us. We ask you to stand beside us and join hands together to reach lost and dying people who desperately need to hear and to see and to feel the love of God. Last time I was here, preached about, if not through you, then through who? God's called each one of us. And today, I'm excited about this message because God messed me up last night. I had everything outlined, had everything on the computer, was ready to go. I'm winding down for the evening, and God said, no. I said, yeah, thank you very much. I'm glad he did it last night as opposed to 6 o'clock in the morning like he has, because at 4 o'clock this morning, I was up praying for you. Because here's what I believe this morning, is that there's somebody in this room that needs to hear this message. That someone this morning is going to leave here different than the way you came in. You've been coming here for a long time, but today is a strategic inflection point of your life, because we're going to talk about something that we believe in, something that you believe. One of the four corners of the four square talks about healing, talking about faith, talking about miracles. We believe in that. Can I get an amen? We believe that God is still able, through the shed blood of his son Jesus, to perform what he said he would do. And he said in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. I don't know about you, but right as we're in this place, there's going to be hundreds of people drive past here that need to hear and to see and feel the love of God. And it's only going to happen through faith in his church, faith of his people that's raising up. And today I want to bring up my message is entitled, Faith is Where Miracles Begin. We believe in faith. And the question for today in the next slide says this: what does it take for a miracle to happen? What does it take for a miracle to happen? Next slide says, here's what Siri says a miracle is. Siri says, a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be a work of a divine agent. How many in this room know that divine agent that can do miracles? We believe that this morning. The next slide says this. Hebrews chapter 1, or 11, verse 1, it says this. And we've heard this scripture many times, probably heard lots of sermons, a lot of better preachers preach on this, but here's what it says. Now, faith is the substance or realization of things hoped for and the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. The biblical definition of faith is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. If I were to ask this morning in this place, how many has seen God perform miracles? Probably hands would go up all around this room. You've seen God do things that only God can do. And here's what I believe, that in these last days, that God is wanting to do more than he's done in the past. And I believe that God's house needs to be a place where faith arises in us And that we began to see God do great and mighty things because we believe and expect that he can do it. We believe that God is able. The next slide says this. What does it take for miracles to happen? Next slide. Number one, before a miracle can happen, there must be an activation of faith. You see, so many times when we have a situation in our life, a problem, a sickness, a pain, an ailment, a diagnosis, we want to run to God, we want to run to our pastors, we want to run to the nearest healing services or the next evangelist or whatever because we have a problem that has now arisen up in our life. Probably many in this room has been touched by that C word, cancer. We got word just 2-3 weeks ago that my twin brother's grandson, 8 years old, is having trouble with his hip, went to the doctor, and he said he's got cancer. And this week, as he's been doing chemo, his hair started falling out, and he shaved his head, and my twin brother went on the internet and shaved his head with him, and his brothers and his dad and everybody shaved their heads. And you see, they were touched with this thing called cancer. But as we've seen in our family, that this thing called faith began to arise, that no matter that the big C word has come alive in our family, that we believe God is bigger than any cancer cell, that God is bigger than any diagnosis a doctor can give. You see, before miracles can happen, there has to be an activation of faith. At the end of the service, we're going to have an opportunity to pray for those that need prayer. But you see, if you need a miracle in your life, before that miracle is going to begin, there's got to be a step of faith. You're going to have to first step out from where you're at because God says he's going to have us meet. He's already told me at 4 o'clock this morning what to do. That at the end of the service, there's going to be a call. If you have a need in your body, a sickness, a family member that needs a touch, maybe a financial miracle, you need something in your life. If you believe that God is able to do that, there's going to have to be a step. Because here's what I believe. He's not going to come back there and do it. Now he might. Because I believe God wants to see an activation of our faith, a step of faith. If you're afraid to step out because what others might think of you is more important than what you perceive they think of you for stepping out, and that's more important to you, then you won't step out when a call for prayer. Because you see, our pride begins to rise up inside of us and say, well, what if they think I've got something really bad going on? What if they think this or what if they think that? And probably everybody else in the church is not thinking that at all. They see you step out and go, praise God, they're looking for a miracle. They need a touch. I know what they're going through. And the first thing that they need is a step of faith and to step out for God to move. You see, sometimes God has done a miracle in spite of our lack of activation of our faith for a greater good. There's been times that through even our ignorance or our unbelief or our pride that we've not stepped, that God has said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead, even though you're not asking me, even though you don't believe I can do it, I'm going to touch, I'm going to mend, I'm going to restore because of the greater good, because I want to receive glory and honor for it. But you see, what God is looking for, a people that has faith that rises up inside of them saying, God, you're greater than any problem. You're greater than any ailment. You're greater than any situation that life has to offer us. That God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even fathom or think today. The next slide says this. Point number two is, when faith is activated, it causes action. When our faith is activated, it causes us to act, react, and start transacting. We can't just sit around going, well, God, I believe that you're able, and I'm just going to sit here on my laurels and believe that you're able. No, there's just sometimes we've got to begin to move and be active in order for things to begin to happen. God wants to see us begin to work, begin to move, and have our very being in him. And God says, okay, now it's time. I'm going to minister. And, you know, it's got to be more than just this one-time prayer. Well, you know, I prayed about my kids. My kids are just going to hell. Don't say that. They're not going to hell until the last breath. You as a parent need to be praying, God, I want to see my children come to know Jesus Christ. I'm going to speak faith. I'm going to speak life and not death. that we began to speak to that mountain and it'd be removed, is what Scripture talks about. Is we need to begin to speak faith. We need to begin to speak life and not death. We need to get out of our past and move towards our destiny that God has called us into. The next slide says this. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, it says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them something needed for their body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. But someone who will say, 'You have faith and I have works,' show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Here's what God's saying to us in his word, is that we need to begin to not just setting back with faith, going, I just believe my kids are going to come to know Jesus Christ. We need to more than just have faith. We need to begin to pray it. We just need to begin to seek. In James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much." Doesn't say it avails a little bit or a tiny bit. The effectual fervent meaning more than once. "Well, I prayed for my kids back in 1976 to come to Jesus Christ. I prayed for my husband to come to know Jesus back in that revival we had back in 1962. It's got to be more than that, folks. The effectual fervent means we do it often, that we bring it up before the face of God, saying, "God, I know I've asked you before, but I'm asking you again. I'm asking you one more time. Can this be the day that miracle is performed?" And I believe that what God's saying is that he wants to see how urgent do we want that thing to happen. How urgent do we want that healing to occur, that person to come to know Jesus Christ? But you see, it's got to be more than us just sitting back and praying. We got to begin to work. If you've got family members that don't know Jesus Christ, you need to be Jesus Christ, the flesh, before them. You need to let Jesus Christ shine out of your life, because you may be the only Jesus they will ever see. I'm not getting into weird philosophy here, becoming a little Jesus. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that when Jesus Christ lives in you, he says, "I'm not just confident and content with living in you, but I want to live through you." And God is looking for some vessels of honor and glory for him to work through, so miracles can begin to happen in these last days. Point number three is this. True faith is what Jesus has done, and faith in what he is going to do causes us to live this life different than before. Let me read it one more time. True faith in what Jesus has done and faith in what he is going to do causes us to live this life different than before. As born again children and men and women of God, the scripture says it's got to be more than just a prayer of "Thank you for saving me. Amen. See you in heaven." No, it's got to be more than that. There's got to be some action to it. We got to begin to walk and have our very being in Christ, that we are transformed. Scripture says, transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus, by the renewed through the Word of God, through prayer, in Bible study, in classes before church, in men's groups and women's groups, those things that happen, youth camp and church camp and kids camp. Those are the types of things that help us to grow. You see, I'm a preacher's kid. And I gave my life to Jesus at church camp. And you say, "Wait a minute, you're a preacher's kid." I was mean as the devil himself, because I had a twin brother. And I went to a camp my senior year in high school, and I'd gotten saved before, but that's the time where I said, "Okay, God, this time I mean it. I want to live for you." It's important for us to put our faith into action. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 says this: "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, we no longer live according to what the world says, the standards of the world. We begin to live by faith and not by sight. That's what God's calling his children to do, is we began to step out on the water. I love the picture of when Peter stepped out of that boat, when Jesus said, hey, come on out. He said, hey, Jesus, if it's real you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, hey, come on. I don't believe Peter went like this. I think so many times our faith is like that. We want God to do something. We'll go, let me just test the water here. I believe he just jumped out on top of that water and began to walk. And he kept his eyes and he was going, hey, this is cool. The rest of the disciples are going, you're not supposed to do that. You can't do that. None of those other guys jumped out of the boat. But you see, what happened is, instead of walking in by faith and keeping his eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of his faith, he began to look around at the waves. He said, you know what? I don't think I can do this. And he began to sink. You see, God is looking for a people that will begin to have dreams. Point number four is this. True faith in God will cause us to trust him even when things seem impossible. And it's living by BHAGs, like I told you about a BHAG is. Tammy and I have never in our lives lived by more about BHAGs than we do right now, being missionaries. Because we went from, I was a chief of police and pastor of a church, and we had insurance. We had all those, you know, comfortable. I knew exactly, every month we knew exactly how much we were going to make, and we're going to be able to pay the bills and all those kind of things. And all of a sudden, that was just jerked out from underneath us because God says, nope, it's time to live a dream. And to have a BHAG. You know what a BHAG is? This is what it is. The next slide. A BHAG is a big, hairy, audacious goal. It's having faith to do something so big that it's destined to fail unless God steps in. If it can be done by your will and your power, then it's not going to take faith. If you've got the training, the knowledge, and all those things, then it's not going to take faith. What God calls us to do is for us to begin to do things that we're not trained to do. You say, well, I'm not qualified. Well, you're the perfect person for the job, because he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. You see, Jesus didn't go to the synagogue and pick out all those guys that had all the degrees and the things like that. He began to pick the norm, the everyday working class, the fishermen. He began to call them, and he began to say, hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He began to say, hey, I'm gonna use you, commoner. You're the perfect person I want to use to touch the world. You say, well, I'm retired, or I'm too old, or I don't have my high school education, I don't have a college degree, or I don't, well, you're the perfect person for God to use, because that's how God works through miracles, is when we have these big, hairy, audacious goals. God, I want to do something for you. That we begin to have dreams. We begin to have this thing called passion. Passion is something that causes you to stay awake at night and causes you to weep. That's what passion is. I would guarantee AJ, Pastor AJ has had spent many nights laying in his bed weeping over some of the teenagers that have come into the youth group. I remember I was a youth pastor. We remember those nights laying in bed at night just weeping for those teenagers that needed to know the love of God. You see, God is wanting to use us to have big, hairy, audacious goals that he can be used for his glory. And I need to move on. In Proverbs chapter 3, I can't see my notes there. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says this: trust the Lord with some of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him, and he might direct your and make your path straight. You see, that's how most of us live. But you think about it, this is how we many of us live. God will do some things for us. He might do the other things for us. We have a situation that we've carried upon our backs. We have a problem that we've carried for a long time. Like a backpack, we've carried it, it's been heavy, and we've carried it along, and we finally come to a point where we say, God, I can't carry this thing anymore. I got to give it to you, God. So here it is. Here's my problem. Here's my situation. Here's my difficulty. Here's my errors. Here it is, God. There it is. God, you fix it for me. There it is. Amen. Oh, God, just not answering my prayer. I don't understand. I prayed about it, last 1976, and he just answered my prayer. And finally, the load gets so heavy that we're carrying, and finally we go to him again, and we say, God, here it is. I'm a lay it at your feet. God, there's my problem. There's my situation. There's my addiction. There's the thing, my past. There's the thing that's haunting me. God, take it over in Jesus' name. Amen. And we pick it back up and we throw it on our backs again and we carry it like a badge of honor. And then finally we come to a point in our life to where we say, God, I can't handle, I can't carry this anymore. There it is, God. You've got to handle this for me because it's weighing me down. It's killing me. I can't carry it any longer. In Jesus' name, amen. And you walk away and say, God, it's yours. And you know what he says? Okay, now we can get things done. You see, we've got to stop carrying it around like a backpack on our backs. That we need to trust in the Lord with all of our spirit, our heart. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And there's this third part of us called the spirit that is activated when we become children of the Most High God. When we're born again, our spirits come alive. You see, the world doesn't understand that because they're motivated by their soul, their mind, their will, and emotion. You do what feels good. You do whatever you want to do. But as his children of God, our spirits begin to come alive, and we no longer trust in what we see or what we think, but now we trust in the Lord with all of our spirit, all of our heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding anymore. I'm no longer going to carry that backpack in all of my ways. I acknowledge that, God, you are in control. Even in the bad times, God's still in control. Even if cancer knocks on your door, as a child of God, God's still in control. I watched my mother-in-law go through cancer years ago. She said, okay, here we go. Went through the treatments, did all those things, the surgeries and all those things. And God said, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm restoring you. You see, we've got to realize that even in the darkness, that our faith becomes alive, that God, you are still in control. The next scripture up there is this. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for I walk by faith and not by sight. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. Point number 5 is this, and I'm going to be closing in just a minute. When we live by faith, we let God take control. We lay our burden, we lay our problem at his feet and say, God, here it is. It's yours. The next slide says this. If it's not God's will, we cannot force it. If it is God's will, man can't stop it. If God begins to birth something inside of you, and he begins to tell you, and it lines up with the word of God, you need to start walking by faith and not by sight, and say, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. When we started Life House, we went, God, we don't know how you're going to do this. Because in the natural, it was the stupid thing to do. We had people that told us, you guys are crazy. Why don't you just retire, buy the fifth wheel that you want to buy, go travel, go pick up seashells, go do all those things. You're crazy for doing what you're doing. We say, but God called us to it. And if he called us to it, he will see us through it. And God began to unfold his will little by little. He began to light our path. He didn't light our way out there. He didn't say, this is where I'm going to put you way out there. He said, I'm just going to light the path, take a few steps ahead. That's what God does in his word. The next slide says this. Read this to you. The definition of faith contains two aspects, intellectual assent and truth. Intellectual assent is believing something to be true. Truth is actually relying on the fact that something is true. A chair is often used to help us illustrate this. Intellectual assent is recognizing that a chair is a chair and agreeing that chair is designed to support a person who sits in it. You came in this morning. I didn't see one person come in and look at that chair and go, man, I just don't know. If that thing, I don't know if it's going to hold me up. I'm just going to stand in the back because I just don't. I just don't have any faith in these chairs. You see, we didn't do that because something told us that chair is designed to support us. It was designed to handle our weight, us flopping down on it, standing on top of it. It was designed for that. But you see, trust was actually going to the chair and just sitting down. I love this analogy. When I was pastoring, my youth pastor, our worship leader, his name was Daniel. Daniel was about 6'4", and he had to be close to 300 pounds. Daniel, he's a big old boy. I used to love to bring Daniel up, and I'd say, okay, Daniel, turn around and face that wall. And I'd be behind him and say, okay, Daniel, I just want you to fall, and I'm going to catch you. And there was a few times Daniel turned around and looked at me like, there ain't no way that you're going to catch me. I never did do it, but you know what? Daniel was such a man of God that if I would have said, Daniel, fall backwards, and I'll catch you, Daniel would have done it. Because he trusted me and he believed in me. Even though the intellectual assent might have said, Tim Leathers is just not built to catch a 300-pound guy, he would have said, here we go, and he just would have fallen. You see, that's what God looks for us to do sometimes in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pain, is to just say, God, I trust in you, and I'm just going to fall into your arms. And I'm going to trust you, even though my mind can't see it, even though my mind can't detect what's going on. The next slide says this. For miracles to occur in our lives, we must believe and then work and walk towards that belief. It's this. Walking towards the bridge even when you don't see the bridge. Believing that the bridge is there, that God's going to put the bridge in front of you at that perfect time. The questions I want to ask this morning. Is this, and the band can just begin to play if they want. These questions right here. What miracle do you need in your life? What do you need God to do? If you're sitting here this morning and say, everything's pretty good. I mean, even through COVID, things are pretty comfortable. I could use some more money. I could use a bigger house, a bigger car, bigger boat, bigger skidoo, something. If you don't have a pain or a problem or a situation in your life, hang on, because it's coming. There's just one guarantee in this life that there's going to be tests and problems and pain and loss and death and C words and things like that that are going to come our way. But it's not that those things come our way. It's how do we respond when those things come our way? Do we believe that we're just, God, I don't understand it. I'm just going to fall into your arms and I'm just going to trust you. Do you believe that God is able to do miracles? Do you believe that he said he will do what he said he will do? The answer to your question is no. Sometimes the answer to your question is not yet. But the final answer is always God is God. And who he says he is. And yet he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Even though this problem may succumb and take me over or take my loved one or do this, I trust in God. I have the faith to know that God is able to do more than I can even fathom in my own intellect. When was the last time that I prayed about my need and believed God would come through? When was the last time you prayed for that loved one that doesn't know Jesus Christ? Was it just once back a long time ago, or is it every day you take them before the throne of God? That situation that's going on in your life that you just bring it up to God every day. Say, God, here it is. I'm bringing it to you. I'm putting my backpack at your feet again. Here it is, God. Do you speak life about that need, or do you speak curses upon that need? I believe faith, sometimes the answer is on its way. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. but the answer is soon to come. I believe God is able to do it. I believe, and I'm going to speak life and not death. I'm going to believe with my whole heart, my very being, my spirit inside of me, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can fathom or think today. What need do you have today? I believe with all of my heart there are people in this room that's come in this place with a heavy burden. You've come in this place with a trial, a situation, and God wants to say, today is the day I want to begin to meet that need. It might happen instantaneously. I love when that happens. It might happen progressively. God is able to do it. But the first, before God can do it, there first has to be faith, and there's got to be a take a step. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're in this place, stand with me in this place this morning. First of all, let me tell you the greatest miracle that God can do. It's not getting rid of cancer or raising the dead, but it's transforming a life to being a brand new child of God. That's the greatest miracle that God can do, is that he can wash away all of our sins, because he's marvelous. He's a marvelous God, excuse me, who says that if you give me your life, if you'll place your life in the hollow of my hand, I will begin to do. I will begin to mend. I will begin to guide. I will begin to do more than you can even fathom or think today. If you're in this place this morning and you have a need, I'm going to ask you right now to step out and just come and stand right here where we're at. If you have a need in this place, come and stand right now. Don't sit and think about it. Step up. Just take a step of faith. Just stand. Back up just a little bit there. Back up just a little bit there. And if you're in this place this morning, if you're in this place this morning and you didn't come forward, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, is to stand in agreement for these that are here. That you'll stand in agreement, not in judgment or speculation or anything else, but you'll say, God, whatever their need is today, God, I believe that you're able to do it today. I believe you are able to minister, to restore, to mend today, to heal, to recover. God, you're able to do more than we can even fathom today. And as we pray for these people, my wife's going to come and help me pray this morning. And if the board members want to come and help us pray this morning, that would be great. Some of the leaders of the church would want to come and help us pray. Because we're just going to go right down the line real quickly. You don't have to tell us your need, because God knows the need. God knows. All you got to do is this today. Is say, God, here's my need. Here it is, God. I'm going to lay it at your feet today. I'm not going to pick it up anymore. I'm tired of carrying it around. I'm tired of carrying that burden around. Today, God, I'm going to give it to you. And that you believe that he's done that. And I want to encourage you, as the worship team leads us in an incredible, I really feel like worship a while ago was awesome, but I got a feeling this is going to be the best worship of the day right now. It's time for us to just press into the presence of God and say, God, I believe. God, I believe. God, I believe. Will you guys lead us?
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.